seek His favor,
grace and favor
in everything I do. Oh, I love my Savior. He loves me too. Oh, I see His favor in everything I do. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank Him for blessing us to be here this morning. If you had a bad week last week, let it go. This is the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you're visiting with us, you're truly our honored guest, and we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We've embarked on a lesson series we've entitled The Jesus Examination Series. The Jesus Examination Series. And I know probably the majority of you in here will say, Brother Gary, I know who Jesus is. I hope you do. And hopefully after this series, you will know Him even better. You know that there are many who people hold up in the world, in history, throughout history, as great, great men and women who've lived. But we believe, and of course I'm biased, we believe if there's one person who has ever lived, who is still living, that everybody in the world ought to know, is Jesus. We know that the great Muhammad Ali passed away this past weekend, and one of his famous statements was, "I am the greatest." And of course, he was talking about boxing, and I know that's all he was talking about. And in my opinion, at one time, he was the greatest boxer. But that remains to be, you know, that's an opinion. But he did prove that he was a great boxer. But he's passed away now, and it's not boxing that he needs to be concerned about. And so we are talking about, as far as importance, our eternal salvation, our eternal souls. And we wanted to take a more of a microscopic look at Jesus as we affirm our faith, but as also we answer questions to those who ask us questions, that we attest and we can attest and we can proclaim why we believe what we believe. And once you study more about Jesus, I just believe that your faith will be increased. We're in lesson number 3 today, and in lesson 1 we started with the birth of Jesus. And we started with the birth, looking at the birth of Jesus, of course, according to the scriptures, according to the biblical accounts of the birth of Jesus, the gospel accounts, and also the intellectual information that we have. And by the way, whether you know it or not and believe it or not, most people in the world, the vast majority, believe that Jesus lived. The vast majority. There are a few, and I don't want to label them, but really anyone who does not believe the evidence that has already been presented, the evidence that's readily available to us, that Jesus was a historical man who actually lived and proclaimed his status on earth, you just have not studied. You just have ignored, or you were being rebellious to all the evidence, because you put up any other character, any other person, man, woman, boy, girl, next to Jesus and pile the evidence, and the evidence stands above, beyond that Jesus lived compared to any other person that's lived. And we talked about the birth of Jesus, its beginning. We talked about what's at stake. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for in him all things were created, both in heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Then it goes on to say Jesus was before all things, and by him all things are held together. And so what's at stake? If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't even believe in yourself. and what's at stake is our eternal salvation. We tried to expose some of the copycat theories that there have been other deities and other little G-O-D gods who have proclaimed that they have a similar background that Jesus had. Well, I don't want to go over them. In the first lesson we did that, we talked about the fulfilled prophecies that have been shown to have been fulfilled over thousands of years, predicted, and they come to pass. In Isaiah 7:14, Micah 5:2, we talked about the supernatural announcements about Jesus in the Gospels. We talked about eyewitnesses who eyewitnessed Jesus' birth, his existence, his time during his life. In lesson number 2, we talked about undeniable affirmations. We looked at sources of non-believer pagans who unintentionally confirmed that Jesus actually lived. He unintentionally proclaimed some of the miracles that he performed. We talked about Jewish sources who actually believed in Jesus but were not Christians, Josephus and some of the other writings of Tacitus. We talked about the calendar itself that we use to this day. It evolves around the very birth of Jesus Christ. Undeniable affirmations. And this morning, everybody all right this morning? You don't act like it just yet. All right. This morning, we want to address the question, why did Jesus come into the world? Why did Jesus come into the world? This is an engaging. We could spend the whole year talking about Jesus every single Sunday. Because the Bible says it doesn't even contain everything that Jesus did while he was on this earth in the short time he was on the earth. But we want to ground ourselves and understand even why we are here today. And the Bible attests to it over. And I want to give you a synopsis. I'll give you the whys and I'll try. I don't know if I can get through them in the allotted time. But he came to this earth to redeem, came to this earth to make sure, to give us access to adoption. He came to this earth to atone. He came to this earth to demonstrate. He came to this earth to save. He came to this earth to call out sinners. He came to this earth to preach. He came to fulfill. He came to die. He came to petition our choice. According to the scriptures. Yes, yes. You need to know why Jesus came. He didn't come here for nothing. As a matter of fact, Jesus was sent by the Father. Amen. Listen to the word of God. Study with me this morning and stay with me. Don't go to sleep this morning. We all need this. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, oh my goodness, Lord have mercy. That's a whole lesson right there. Paul writing to the Galatian church. You don't see he said when the fullness of time would be the time appointed by God and God alone that he would reveal this Christian dispensation. That he would put to sleep the old law and the old testament and the legalism. And now he brings forth grace and truth. Now it's not a mystery anymore. It's being revealed. Said when the fullness of time, when everything was just like God wanted it. God sent forth his son. Now remember now, I know we talked about the birth of Jesus Christ, but you understand, I hope you will listen. I hope you understand that Jesus was here before he was born. That don't even make sense, does it? It don't make sense to you because you're not God. And you're surely not Jesus. Before Jesus was born, he already was. Now, next Sunday, Lord says the same. I'm going to deal with Jesus in the flesh. Jesus in the flesh. I think that's where I'm going next Sunday. Let me go back to a minute. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. That's why we started there. He was born of a woman when he came to this earth, born under the law of Moses, under the old law. Do we understand it here? I know some of us are searching. Some of us are more scholarly than others, but if you make a note of this, we are no longer under the law of Moses. The Old Testament is in our Bible for our learning. We read it and we learn from it, but we're not bound by laws of the Old Testament. That's why we're here today on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath day. Amen. Born under the law so that he might, everybody say, redeem. Yes, easy. Notice, God sent him that he might, the word redeem means to pay back. It means to make something that was bad good. It actually, the term means to clear by payment. It means to clear up by payment, to redeem those who were under the law. Now, that would not be us. He came to redeem the Jews who were under the law, who had the law, but couldn't keep the law. He came to buy them back and to clear up their debt. That's why he came. That's one of the reasons why he came. Notice and keep reading. And he came to redeem those who were under the law that we, now notice, he says that, now that's us. He says that we might receive the adoption as sons. He came to redeem. He came to make sure that we were adopted. Who is the we, Brother Gary? Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, to redeem them, and also to the Gentiles. That's us. Amen. And so he came to redeem the Jews. And he came to make sure we were adopted. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Adoption is good. Amen. Some of us in here have been adopted. And I hope you understand the value and joy of being adopted when somebody chooses you. Amen. Somebody says, I want you to be my child. Oh, that's a whole lot of love. Because you know nobody has to take a child. Lord have mercy. So he came that he might redeem us, that we might receive this adoption. He uses the term as sons. It's the term that means sons and daughters of God. And so I want to try to get through all of these. I don't know if I can, so I can't stay too long. I want to stay a little bit longer, but I can't stay too long. He came to atone. He came to atone, First John 14. And this is love, Lord have mercy. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent, there it is, he sent his son to be propitiation. That's the word atonement. It's a word to atone. It's a word that means to purge. It's the literal translation of the word. It means, it's the word, the Hebrew word is kephar. K-I-P-H-A-R. It's the same word. It's a word that means to pitch, or to cover with pitch. It's the same word that's used in the Old Testament when God told Noah to pitch the ark. It's to cover to seal. It's the word to atone, to pitch, to cover with pitch, to purge, to cover up. All of our sins, Jesus came to cover them up, to seal them up, that nothing can be seen by God again. Lord, he came. Jesus came to atone. He says to be the propitiation. Yeah, somebody covers up your sins. That's a good thing, church. It's a good thing. Brother prayed this morning for our sins. God is faithful. And you know how God is faithful and just to forgive our sins? As Christians, you know why he's faithful and just? Because Jesus atoned for it. Amen. Yeah, Jesus atoned for it. And I don't know how it all works. I don't know how God could could after we sin so much, let's see, that probably maybe 400, 500 people in here this morning, and let's say 50% of us sin this week. Would that be a good percentage? I'm a little off. And we sin. Now, if I was God, and 50% of you sin, I say, let's say this side, or should I say this side? Yeah, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? I'm not good enough. I haven't given you enough. You haven't been blessed enough. Why you keep tripping and falling over the same stuff all over? That just don't make no sense. You're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I'm tired of it. You think God is tired of our sin? Oh, you know he gotta be. But the scriptures say he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's one reason why if you're not a Christian any, you need to hurry up and become a Christian. Because that reward is only in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for that one, because there is no way I could be saved and go to heaven if the Lord wasn't still forgiving my sins. Why would somebody reject Christ? Now, all this is going to come together as we keep going through these lessons, because it's only because of Jesus Christ that you have forgiveness of your sin. Okay, that's all our past sin. It's your past sins and your future sins. And somebody ought to see now, but those who reject Christ will not receive forgiveness of sins. And God didn't make it hard for us to accept Jesus Christ. Oh, have mercy. I need to keep on. I want to make a point, another point. He came to demonstrate what, Brother Gary? His love. I just read you 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Now, notice, his only begotten son. Here we sinning, denouncing him, rejecting him, lying, cheating, stealing, killing. And he sends his son. God is God. He made us. He could have just wiped us all out forever. And he pitied us. He loved us, and he sent his son. And the scriptures would say in John 3:16, you heard, for God so loved the world. Yeah. And we can relate to this. God made us this way in his own image, after his own likeness. When you have children, see, children change everything. When you have children, boy, they'll teach you something. Children pull at your heartstrings. You raise them, you feed them, you nurture them. You know, and now, see, when children are small, they require full attention. And you watching them, and you know, they don't even know what they're doing, and you're correcting them, and you're loving them, and talking to them. And our mothers, you change their diapers, and you, some of you dads say, Brother Gary, I change them too. Well, you change their diapers. You comb their hair, and you talk to them, and you sing to them, and you pray with them, and you pick them up when they fall down, and you mold them, and you try to teach them, you try to guide them, you try to direct them. You need to do this, and you love them, and they all in your heart. Oh, and we love them so much, and God loves us, and he. See, but notice, True love has to be demonstrated. See, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You want to know, young ladies, if you dating somebody and you haven't been dating them that long, take your time. Because most guys can put on a pretty good show for a couple of weeks. But, and young men, same thing. Some women, they'll dress up and fix up, nails, everything. When they first meet you, they looking the best. Because they want some. Vice go both ways. But then time will tell. Time will tell. Because when a person stops demonstrating, what do you mean, Brother Gary? See, people that love people, you say, I love you. Oh, no, you don't say it, Brother Gary. Not just with words. The things you do, how you treat the person, and then listen, you can say, but I still love them. It's just that I don't. Well, when you stop demonstrating it, you stop showing that you love them. But God literally sent his son to come in the flesh to demonstrate his love for all mankind. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Yeah, and that demonstration of love is why Jesus came and left all. And some, I've heard some young people, you know, say, Jesus, he knew he was going to be back in heaven, and he, you know, he wasn't here that long. You don't know what you're saying. Because, see, I don't want to ask anybody, have you ever been in jail before? I know we probably have a number of people that's been in jail before. But you know, when you're going through, it's like, I remember hearing someone say, well, you know, when a woman has a baby, you hear a man talking. When a woman has a baby, it's just natural for the woman to have a baby. And he said, it's not that big of a deal. You can tell he never witnessed it, and he don't know what he talking about. Now nowadays, you know, they have all these things, epidural and things that have the anesthesia. But I witnessed it with my first child, my wife going through labor pains with our oldest child, and at that moment, I raise your hand, brothers, if you witnessed it, if you've been there when a female had a baby or they were having birth pains, you witnessed it. Now, they can relate. They can relate to what we feel, what I felt. They relate to it. My wife was in so much pain. I never, ever seen faces, actions from her, never in life. I almost said, Lord, I'm sorry, I got her pregnant. Now, sisters in here, sisters that have gone through the labor pains, raise your hand if you've gone through labor pains, sisters. Now, see, now they have a whole new understanding. When I say that, see, brothers, we saw it, we witnessed it, but we wasn't going through it. And all my next two children were all anesthesia planned. And my wife said, baby, because we went through the Lamar's, and we were going to have a natural. I said, we were going to have a natural childbirth. But the next one, she said, no. And see, Demonstration takes, it takes effort. It takes action. It takes going through. Oh, we haven't gotten to Jesus, nearly gotten to Jesus on the cross. And how, and God's reaction to Jesus' action. But he demonstrated, listen to Romans chapter 3, verse 28, Romans 3, 325, Romans 3, 25. Whom we've been studying in the book of Romans on Wednesday nights. So you can relate to this. Whom God displayed publicly. Now this is talking about where the rubber meets the road. You know, some people say, "Well, I love you. Show me how much you love me." Words get empty after a while. Yeah. You know, you sweetheart, you look good. I need to know. You need to affirm that you love me. If you really, really mean it. You know, some of you know old James Brown's song, "If you love me like you say, why you treat me like you do?" Young people, they don't know that song. I think it was James Brown. I might be wrong. Some of you, okay, whoever it was then. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as the word again, atonement, as a, to his blood through faith. Now, this is why we study about Jesus, because you need to know where our forgiveness come from, why Jesus came to this earth. God displayed publicly because God wanted to demonstrate without a doubt how much he wanted people to see how much not only that he loves us, but how much he wants us to respect his son. This was to demonstrate. Now, that Jesus came to demonstrate his love, and he came to demonstrate God's righteousness. Notice, he came to demonstrate his love. He came to demonstrate. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because when God judges us one day, he's going to judge us with righteous judgment. His mercy endured forever. And so when God gives us eternal life or he gives us eternal punishment, he's going to be right when he does it, because he's given us too many chances. And he's shown without a doubt that we should stop making excuses and obey him and serve him, because he truly loves us. Let me finish reading the verse. He says, because in the forbearance of God, notice, the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. And then you think, bro, that's talking about the Jews. That's talking about all of us. Has God been forbearing to you? Say, come on, church. Wait a minute. Hold up. Let me see if I can get everybody down here. Because you got folk in church who've been coming to church, who've been baptized, and you think because you've been coming every Sunday that you got a lease on heaven. Wrong. Look in your mind real quick. Close your eyes if you have to. Now think of all the times you've lied, that you've talked about people, that you've cheated, that you've stolen things. I am robbed a bank. You robbed out the government. You see, you got to be humble to receive Jesus. He says, in the thought that all of our past, the previously committed, then verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in who?
Jesus.
Faith in Jesus. See, it's all dependent on your response, your reaction to what God, what Jesus has done, whether you believe it, whether you have faith or not. Because if you don't accept God's gift of Jesus Christ, if you don't obey Jesus, God will judge you righteously. Because he's given so much witness, so much accounts, so much evidence, so much demonstration. And that's why Jesus came. He came to erase all doubt. He came to demonstrate and to show us. He came to save sinners 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, 15. It is a trustworthy statement, Paul, as he writes to Timothy, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came. No, we're just answering this question, why did Jesus come? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what the scripture says. He came here because sin was so prevalent, and God hates sin. Paul notices, Paul says, and this is for the church folk, this is for us. I'm glad this is in the Word of God. And see, because some of us, we think we so holy. Paul said, of whom I am. Now, he said, of whom I am foremost or chief of all. I want you to see what it says. Now, Brother Humber, again, that's talking about before he was persecuting the Christians. Paul, he's not persecuting the Christians right here when he's writing this letter to Timothy. He says, Paul recognized he's humble as he could be. I'm a Christian. I love God, but I am nothing but a saved sinner. Yeah. And if Paul stayed that humble, having been used as a tool through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write at least 13 letters of the New Testament, if he stayed that humble, what you think that say about us? I'm a Bible school teacher, so what? Our response, our humility, our reaction is Jesus came to save us. And I'm telling you, I'm struggling. I every day, Lord have mercy. I got up this morning. I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. Brother Lewis was praying. I said, Lord, thank you. Forgive us of all of our sin. Please include me in that list. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He came not only. Now notice this. Now, he came to save sinners, but not to save us in our sin. I know some of you older church members, you was hoping I got there. But I want to make sure you know where you are also. Yeah, because even though you want us to get there, you're not there yourself right now. I'm including myself in that list, always examining myself. Listen to what Mark chapter 2, verse 6. See, he came also to call sinners to repentance. To call sinners. Listen to Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it and said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance means to turn from sin. See, we as saints ought to be living holy lives. No misunderstand. Do not misunderstand this. When I state that I ask the Lord for forgiveness every single day, I do. I absolutely do. Every day I ask the Lord for forgiveness of all my sins. But you got to know this. As a child of God, if your mindset towards sin isn't that I reject sin, I do not want to do sin, and I'm turning to Jesus, if it does not affect the way you live, you haven't truly repented. You know, you am truly, I want to be a better husband. But yeah, I asked the Lord for forgiveness for beating my wife last night. And you've been beating her every other day of the week. The scripture still say if you die in your sins, where God is, we will not be. And see, when the scripture say Jesus came to call sinners, you know, it's difficult to try to convert anybody who think they always right. And it's difficult to try to win somebody's soul over to Jesus Christ when they think they already saved. And so Jesus says this. He says, now, I'm preaching. And, you know, some people, especially the Pharisees during this time, some people think they got all the answers. Jesus says, that's not... I'm not trying to save somebody who already think they are saved. But when you recognize that you're a sinner, see, it's only after fully recognizing that you're a sinner that you're going to change anyway. Amen. It's only after you recognize I have a problem. I can't fix it by myself. I need to depend on the Lord to help me fix this. And it is a mindset. God knows when we are sincere and when we are not. God knows that. And me as a preacher, if I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and I'm in this pulpit preaching what thus say the Lord, but my life is an opposite of what I'm preaching, I need to sit myself down. Amen. God came to call us to repentance, and that's a true change, a turning from our sins. Yes, and I hope that, and I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace, but the Bible says, be ye holy, yes, as I am holy. And so it's a calling for us as Christians, being a child of God, believing in Jesus Christ, it ought to change the way we act. It ought to change the way we talk. We have to be careful when we go trying to beat up on somebody else and what they are doing. We pray for them. We teach them what's right. We teach them what thus saith the Lord, but we need to check ourselves before we check anybody. Yeah, Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us to grow in the Lord. Help us to fight sin. At every turn, help us to fight sin. Help us to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Jesus came. I got 3 minutes. Jesus came to preach the good news. The good news about the kingdom of God. He came to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, and he said, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. Jesus was a preacher. For that is what I came for. You want to know why Jesus came to there? He came to redeem us. He came that we might receive this adoption. He came that we might be atoned of all of our sins. He came to save sinners. Lord have mercy. Jesus came. He came to demonstrate his love for us. He came to demonstrate God's righteousness. He came to preach good news and the kingdom of God. Listen to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And those that did you here this morning, and perhaps you're visiting and you're searching and you're trying to figure out what I need to be doing in my life and how I respond. Jesus came. See, the gospel is the good news. It's good news that Jesus did come. He lived, he died. But Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And in the latter part of his ministry, in Matthew chapter 16, one of his apostles came. The apostles came to him and said, Jesus asked him a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said several names. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus told him, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus came to this world to preach the kingdom of God. He came to build and establish his kingdom on earth. And if Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth, don't you think he wants us to be in that kingdom? Amen. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Jesus came that he might establish his kingdom and his kingdom alone. He came to fulfill the law, Matthew 5:17. To fulfill the law, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Why did Jesus come to fulfill the law? Well, the law, remember, was the Old Testament. We've already discussed some of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And the scripture says Jesus came to fulfill. He came to make good on God's word. Amen. He came to give credibility, even more credibility, to his Father, to his ministry. You know how this is the political season. And politics is, well, I'll tell you what, I just get sick of the politicians coming up. They have all of these debates. And they've had the Democratic, all of the debates were going on, and they get up there, and everybody's up there standing, saying what they're going to do, how you, whatever your policies, and they just a bunch of rhetoric. And it's not over yet. It's fixing to get ugly. Isn't it amazing? I wanted to. I just didn't want to disturb my PowerPoint. I wanted to bring a video. You know how politicians, they get up and say, well, I will not raise taxes. How many politicians have said that? And then when they get in office, they act like, well, I didn't want to raise taxes, but I don't have control. Well, you shouldn't have said it. But everything that God has said in his word, everything that has been written about Jesus, the scriptures say he came to make good on God's word. He came to fulfill everything, so nobody can say he's a fraud, he's a lie, because Jesus is true. And brothers and sisters, young ladies and young men, if you find a friend, if you find a young man, young ladies, young men, if you find a young lady that will say something and do what she say, hold on to that. That's a valuable value. If you are working on a job and you got a boss that follows through on what he says, stay with that boss. Because you have yourself something. And Jesus came to this world to fulfill the law. Jesus came to this world to die on the cross. To actually die. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled. These are words out of his mouth. Has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And then he goes on to say, but for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus came to die. See, it's one thing to, we all gonna die. We don't know the date. We don't know the time. But it's one thing to know you gonna die. Know the pains you're going to go through. Know it's right up on you. See, if I would have got drafted, I probably shouldn't say this because of the veterans in here. But I remember when I was in college, they almost had a draft when I was at SMU. And they were talking about they're going to have a draft. And I'd heard about the other draft. And then it really got serious. They thought it was going to be a draft. And it was like, I said, Smitty, what you going to do if they draft you? I said, I'm going to Canada. I was kind of joking. But when you know harm is coming your way, the first thing you want to do is avoid it. And notice this. Especially when you know Jesus hadn't done nothing to nobody. No sin. No guile in him. But he went to the cross. And lastly, Jesus came to petition our choice, to petition our decision, to petition if you're going to side with Christ or you're going to reject me. This is what Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 says. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. The scriptures say, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I came for you to make a decision who you going to serve. I came for us, for you to make a decision. Is there anything you would serve more than me? Serve more than the Father. And some of us, we say, well, okay, that's kind of selfish. It's no more selfish. Listen, all of us, we are serving something. We are serving with you. You are giving all your time. Some of us, we can't even think. We can't even worship God right now because you're thinking about the assignment you have on your job. But God, Jesus is saying, I want you to recognize where your blessings come from. You got that job because God is good to you. Amen. And see, notice, see, he's not saying for us to hate our relatives. But when you put anything before serving God, when you put anything, listen, if I'm a grown man, and if my daddy asks me to go rob a bank, I'm going to say, no, I can't. Well, I'm your daddy. I love you, daddy, but I'm serving the Lord. I know that was drastic, but many individuals will not bow down, will not adhere to the truth of God's word because of mom, dad, sister, brother, husband, wife, cousin, friends. And he's simply saying to us, when you make a decision for me, it might bring some conflict in your life. But he's still saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We're studying Jesus. We're trying to understand why he came to this world. And you read the scriptures and we see why he came. This is serious business, church. This is finality. And this shapes our actions, our beings, what we do, what we say. Amen. Yes. And Jesus came to this world not by happenstance. He came for a purpose. And this morning, will you listen to that purpose? If you're here today and you're not a child of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus did come. Do you understand this now? That Jesus did come. He lived. He actually died. And the scriptures say he's coming again for his children. It's the essence of life itself. The reason you are here, God made you. He wants us to be in one family with him forever and ever, but you can't denounce his son. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Jesus has died for our sins. But all you got to do is change your mind about sin. Say, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to live for God. You might not be perfect, but you still believe that you don't want to sin. And now I turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And you depend on that for your forgiveness of sins. And Jesus purifies us of all of our sins. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, you're not ashamed that you're a Christian. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Notice, if you confess Jesus, that you're not ashamed of Jesus. That's why you got to say without a doubt, Jesus lived, he died, he was a historical character that walked this earth. I believe in Jesus. And not be ashamed. Nobody compares Mohammed, Buddha, whoever. They do not compare to Jesus. And you must confess that with your mouth, what your heart believes. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Everybody who wants to be saved has to be baptized. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so that invitation is extended to you. What happens when you're baptized? He gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. We get forgiveness of sins. Now we are in Christ. We are in Jesus Christ. Those who were baptized were put into Jesus Christ by God. Acts 2 verse 47. Now we're in the kingdom of God, that kingdom that Jesus preached about. And if you stay there till you die, in the Bible there's only one kingdom, one family. God wants everybody to be in the family. Everybody who? Everybody in the whole world. Yes, sir. Yes. God is good. Jesus is wonderful. He yet lives. You want to come to Christ, come right now. If you want to ask the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you right now. If you want to ask for forgiveness of sins, we'll pray for you right now. Won't you come as we stand, sing the song of
Celestial. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name.